The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby, and we are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people!
Whoa! Whoa! What, Jalen? You okay, buddy? I think we're going to lose Jalen. So fired up on Monday, as you can tell, because we have the Cowboys collapsing. We have the return of touchdown Tom Brady, but we start with the NBA Finals Game 3. We knew with Goran and Bam out, it was going to take a special performance from Jimmy Butler to get a game in this final series. That's exactly what they got, a 40-point triple-double. Jalen, what do you think about this performance from Jimmy Butler?
I think I want to call an archaeologist. And all of those great NBA performers and all of the people who value old school basketball, introduce you to Jimmy Butler. It was so very refreshing, Jacoby, to watch a player score 40 points and not even make a three.
Not even have a highlight.
Just will his team to victory. Like, we hear that so very often. When you don't have Goran Dragic, who led you in scoring when you won the East, when you don't have Bam Adebayo, and you're going against LeBron, AD, and Dwight up front, and you still find a way to lock down LeBron James and create six turnovers when you're guarding him, have a triple-double, and win a game? Like, this was a phenomenal victory by the Miami Heat. This is exactly why they deserve to be in the NBA Finals. They're not more talented than the Sixers or the Celtics. Mm-mm. They're not as good as the Bucks. But you know what they have? An identity. And it starts with Pat Riley to Eric Spoelstra, and it filters down to the roster in Jimmy Butler. It was so very refreshing to watch a team that has no business winning NBA Finals games without the two people that I mentioned find ways to still get it done on the big stage after trailing 0-2. So very refreshing.
The only Finals 40-point triple-double in a win we saw last night, but those weren't the only numbers that were so impressive for Jimmy Butler. When you take a look at some of the other things that he did, you mentioned when he was covering LeBron James, he forced six turnovers. And look at what he did. He created 33 points off of his passes, 9 for 15 on contested field goals. Really impressive performance from Jimmy Butler. But we do have to take a look at the other side of the ball, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers and their performance. What did you see from them that they need to change for Game 4?
What I saw is the difference between Anthony Davis being a top 5 player versus a top 10 player. Which is outstanding, by the way. Still all NBA first team. See, when you're playing in New Orleans and you're the best player on the squad and it's a game that you're going to have one or two rebounds or it's a game that you're going to have as many fouls as buckets or turnovers, you normally lose those games and lose those series. But when you join LeBron James in Los Angeles, it's just one game lost in a series. So it continued to validate for me why superstar players, if you've got a chance to play with one, you're lucky because you have a championship ring. That's what's going to happen to Anthony Davis this year. And there were people that was like, oh, I wonder who's going to win Finals MVP. We know who's winning Finals MVP.
Well, now we know.
That's going to be LeBron James. And as I crown the king, there are only two other players. They have four MVPs and four championships. And the other two I have ahead of LeBron James on my Mount Rushmore, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell. He's joining an exclusive company when they win it this year.
Yes, he is. And even though Anthony Davis has so many 30-point performances in these playoffs, everyone keeps asking for him to be more aggressive, be more aggressive, be more aggressive. And you saw it last night. It was the foul troubles that threw him off the rhythm, but he took 3 shots in the paint. Again, you're Anthony Davis. You're a top 5, top 10 player in the league. You are almost 7 feet tall. You have to take more than 3 shots near the rim, especially when their rim protectors are Myers Leonard and Kelly Olynyk. I expect to see a lot more from him in game 4. Jalen, I want to ask you this quickly. Is this convincing you that we now have a competitive series, or is this convincing you that it will go 5 instead of 4?
The Miami Heat's toughness didn't surprise me that they were going to win a game, regardless of who was in uniform. But Anthony Davis, as I just recall, made a game-winning 3-point shot at some point during this series. You just said it had multiple 30-point games and 10 rebound games during this series. He responds, the Lakers respond. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers go up 3-1 and then the Heat win another game, but I still feel like it's going to be Lakers in 6.
I still feel like it is Lakers in 5. And one of the things that they had so much trouble with last night was turnovers. What Miami did is kind of like they went away from the zone and they went man-to-man. They packed the paint. And the Lakers didn't really know how to respond. They had so many turnovers, 5 for Davis, but also 8 for LeBron James. 13 total just from their 2 best players. It was a bit of a mess on that end. How do you think they clean up the offense?
See, we're not going deeper into the box score today. Don't talk to me about Kyle Kuzma, KCP, Danny Green. Don't talk to me about the role players today. Don't even talk to me about playoff Rondo. We only bring that up when they win. Talk to me about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They had 13 turnovers. That was the catalyst for giving the Miami Heat confidence and kept them in the game in the first half. Even though Miami had the lead, the Lakers were right there and they were really struggling. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy Butler continued to play very well in the second half to propel his team.
Just want to mention Markieff Morris, who did have a great game. And you mentioned something that was important. The Lakers played terribly. And Anthony Davis played really bad. And he was in foul trouble the whole time. And the Lakers also had a lead in the fourth quarter, which is why I have Lakers in 5. And LeBron James is my finals MVP. And we'll see what happens in the next game on Tuesday night. But Jalen, we had a big weekend of NFL football. And the highlighted game was the Browns' big win over the Cowboys. And Jalen, all morning, I've been watching ESPN, and all I hear about is how bad the Cowboys' defense is. But you noticed something from the other side of the ball that you wanted to point out. What is that?
So football is a salary cap sport. And before I say what I'm about to say, I don't want people to feel like I'm half crazy, even though I've been accused of such. I believe the Dallas Cowboys have put themselves into a position that the only way they can actually rebuild their defense, in particular their secondary, is to trade Ezekiel Elliott.
Explain.
Here's what they did. Here's what they did that they didn't realize. I said it on this show. If you watch Jalen and Jacoby, you found out who was going to be the next Dallas Cowboys coach on this program. When you hire Mike McCarthy, when you pay all of the people you did defensively, when you pay Amari Cooper and you draft CeeDee Lamb, you know what you're actually doing? You're making it Dak Prescott's offense. That's exactly what you're doing. You're getting away from your 3-down bell cow running back. And so now all of a sudden, I'm looking up at the scoreboard. His lottery numbers happening, Jacoby. They're giving up 40-plus, 30-plus every game. And you know what Zeke is doing? Not getting 100 yards rushing. And now all of a sudden, the way their roster is constructed, they need a running back that's inexpensive. Not one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL. And I know Zeke is a fantastic running back in all teams that are in need will welcome him to their roster. But based on the way the Dallas Cowboys have constructed their team and paying their defense, paying Amari $100 million, and drafting CeeDee Lamb, plus Dak is on a franchise tag, the only way you can change your team is to trade Ezekiel Elliott. I anticipate over the next year or two that that's actually going to take place.
Jalen, 2 things. Number one, That does make a lot of sense. Number two, regardless of that making sense, you are half crazy. Now, that might be an issue. They may have to trade Ezekiel Elliott, but they also have to do something about their defense, which was terrible yesterday. And here's what DeMarcus Lawrence said about it after the game in a Gucci do-rag.
I'll call it soft. We got to hold ourselves to a higher standard. We got to play together as one. And I don't feel like we're holding ourselves accountable, including myself. So I'll call the shit soft, and we'll get better from it.
Well, you heard the words. He said they were soft, but look at the numbers. Opponents' yards per game, 30th. Opponents' yards per rush, 31st. Points allowed, worst in the NFL. Jalen, seems like they would have to do something drastic like trade Ezekiel Elliott to turn this around. What did you see from the Cowboys' defense?
Come on, Lawrence. You got to represent Aunt Jemima better than that. Y'all can't be having the worst defense. And then you come into the post-game conference looking like the syrup bottle. Come on now. Y'all got to get it done, defense. They wrote some big checks on that side of the football, Jacoby. And their secondary is awful. Like, mm-hmm. You notice I don't use terms like superstar or awful very often. That's what I'm saying about the Dallas Cowboys defense. And so as you reevaluate what they did this offseason, again, they have made this Dak Prescott's team without even signing him to a long-term deal. Without even signing Jacoby, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Who's the only Dallas Cowboy that's performing well this year?
Dak Prescott, sir.
Exactly. Because when you look up at the scoreboard and you down 1, 2, 3 touchdowns, guess what you got to do? You got to pass. And you got CeeDee Lamb. And you got Schultz now become a new weapon as a tight end. Like, they got all of these offensive toys. You know what he's not doing? Turning around and handing it off to the tattooed belly of Ezekiel Elliott. They're not doing that. They have gotten away from that. And the only way to rebuild the construction of their roster would be to not have one of the highest paid running backs in the league.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's going to be the move that they have to execute in order to turn their fortunes around at some point.
Makes a lot of sense. I think Mike McCarthy saw that tattoo that says "Feed Me" on his Elliott stomach and said, "You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to feed Dak Prescott." Dak has been great through the air. Jalen, it is time for you and I to break down some video in great detail. And for that,
Dak had a bad interception late.
Jalen, watch this crazy touchdown from Brandon Ayuk. I absolutely love it. Every time that a player goes to jump over another player, it is both really, really amazing and athletic and also terrifying at the same time. Do you support leaping defenders in the NFL?
I support it, but every now and then you're going to get caught. And big shout out to Jalen Ramsey. I love seeing him and Golden Tate get wrapped up the way he did. That kind of reminded me of that. But here's the thing, Jacoby. As somebody that played football as a youth, clearly wasn't able to play in high school, it highlights something that takes place when you're on the field that a lot of people don't realize. When you're running as fast as you can to hit someone as hard as you can, you know what you do before impact takes place usually? You close your eyes. You close your eyes. That's what this is exposing, is that before you go to make that impact, you close your eyes. And so the offensive player is like a used car. The less hits you take, the better on the body. So if I can jump and just avoid one big hit, it's worth it to me. But every now and then, you're going to do that jump. You're going to do that leap. And somebody else is going to come from the side and swipe you. In that case, yesterday, it did not take place, so it was an amazing, terrific, wonderful touchdown by Brandon.
We have so much more from this weekend in the NFL and other places in sports to get to, so stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Greetings.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janaean Golick Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it's time for you to decide what we discuss. It's Keep It Moving.
Wu-Tang! Wu-Tang!
If you want to discuss topics and hit the brakes, if not, me and Method Man will keep it moving. And we start with the return of Touchdown Tom in Tampa. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
It's just funny, when he started off struggling and threw a pick six, everybody was talking about his demise, and he threw five touchdowns and they won. Keep it moving.
I was doing exactly that.
We keep it moving.
Russell Wilson continues to tear up opposing defenses. Keep it moving or hit the brakes. Russell Wilson keeps cooking. They are now 4-0, and he has thrown 16 touchdown passes for the Seahawks.
Does it fascinate you that a guy that has led his team to the Super Bowl twice, winning one, and has been an elite dual threat quarterback since he got into the NFL, has never garnered an MVP vote? How about that? Has never garnered an MVP vote. That's going to change this year.
Jalen, I don't know if you saw, but the Lions play football this weekend. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
You know what? Hit the brakes, dog.
Okay. The Lions played the Saints, and if you are Drew Brees and you want to get back on top, all you have to do is play the Lions because he lit them up. And it almost looked like the Lions were going to threaten to win this one early, but they, again, completely collapsed. They're sixth double-digit lead that they've lost in a row. Jalen, what is next for your Detroit Lions?
You know I'm die hard. Detroit stand up. What up, though, versus everybody. And I never do this. But I need a second to cook on my hometown team, dog. I never do this. So, before last week, we had lost 11 in a row. You just said that we lost six straight games by 10-plus points. We hire a defensive coordinator in Matt Patricia after we were 9-7 with Jim Caldwell. Since he's become our coach, we're 10-25-1. 10-25-1.
Six straight double
digit leads lost. You hire a defensive coordinator, which means that, okay, we're going to lock down defensively. We got Slay over here. He all pro. Let him walk. And then drive the quarterback. Why not keep both? Why not keep both? Here's another thing. We draft two running backs within the last couple of years. And Adrian Peterson all day is a legend. But there's no way he should be getting the most touches for a running back out of our backfield at this point of his career. When we just drafted two running backs. Like, that philosophy just doesn't go with one another. And then lastly, what did I say we should have did in this year's draft? What did I say we should have did in this year's draft? What did I say?
Take Tua.
It ain't that I don't like Matthew Stafford. I want Matthew Stafford to be freed. I want him to have a chance to go play in the winning situation and possibly have his numbers catapult him to the Hall of Fame. We don't draft the quarterback.
Now all of a sudden,
we got one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league.
For your own mental health, we have to keep it moving. Lamar Jackson ran all over the football team, called the football team. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Andrews, two touchdowns. Keep it moving.
Hey. We keep it moving.
A little off-field personal beef between two players on the Giants and the Rams spilled on the field.
Hit the brakes.
Well, Jalen, I think you know what I'm talking about. What do you think led to this little scuffle off the field between Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey?
Well, first off, Jalen Ramsey is just that dog, that animal out there. And once you give Jalen his bread, then you can't tell him nothing. You can't tell him nothing. So now all the personal beefs, all the people that want to clap back, he handling it. And you know what I like about Ramsey? Here's what I like about Ramsey.
What's that?
A physical corner. Not just a cover corner, a physical corner. I like that a lot.
J Jalen, we have one of the biggest games in the NFL's entire schedule tonight, but it wasn't supposed to be tonight due to the coronavirus. We will break that down and much more. You're watching Jalen and Jacob.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Thank you for tuning in to Jalen and Jacoby on television, but the experience doesn't stop there. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast because we always have exclusive content that you can't get anywhere else, like this interview, ASAP Ferg.
Hey, yo, floor seats when we're able to go back to the game, we all sit in floor seats on Jalen's dome.
I can make it happen.
We all going to sit together, and we all going to sip some Hennessy, and we're going to get turned up.
Done.
And we all going to join the game.
That's what we're gonna do. Done. Except the end.
You can listen to that interview with ASAP Ferg right now on our podcast feed. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, coming to you live from Pier 17 at the South Street Seaport, and brought to you by Chase. Jalen, there's a game between the Chiefs and the Patriots tonight instead of yesterday because star quarterback Cam Newton tested positive for the coronavirus. It feels like this entire NFL experience is like a boat. And there was a big hole in the boat because some of the Titans tested positive and they plugged that up by postponing the game. And there's another hole in the boat because Cam Newton tested positive, so they moved that game one day. I'm concerned that eventually there will be a hole in the boat so big that it will sink the boat and we may not have an NFL season. Can you foresee that happening?
I do not foresee the NFL not completing a season. They're going to find a way to get to a champion. Unlike the NBA, who chose to do a bubble, these outbreaks are going to take place. I'm just upset for Cam because this was a big stage opportunity for him to continue to catapult himself as one of the top quarterbacks in the game. As somebody that was a free agent looking for a job in July and established himself as a dual threat with the Patriots, I wanted to see him go against Mahomes.
We'll be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m. Enjoy the games this evening.
Thank you. You are far. Too kind.
Jalen Rose, there's only so much time on the television program, so we always have exclusive content in the podcast, and especially on a Monday, there is so much to discuss. So I want to talk to you about some of the games we didn't get to on the pod, and a couple things I wanted to say. Number one, Justin Herbert, he's that guy. Because there was a point in that game, late in the second half, I was like, is Justin Herbert about to go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes and then beat the GOAT Tom Brady head-to-head with the Chargers team that didn't have high expectations? Now, we all know what happened. Touchdown Tom threw five touchdowns. But if you're Tyrod Taylor, however we say his name, are you ever going to start for that team again?
Well, I believe he will because of how he got injured. Being that their medical physician punctured his lung and forced him to miss football games. Just for lawsuit purposes, when he's healthy, they're going to put him back out there. So they're going to put him back out there. Now, when you draft a quarterback as high as they did, he clearly is their future. And so I don't think you interrupt that this season. I think next year is the year that you go into training camp and you say this is Justin's job. But for this year, I wouldn't be surprised if they just platoon both of the players based on situation and opportunity.
Another rookie quarterback I love, Joe Burrow, got his first win, the Bengals beating the Jags. You think Joe Burrow's got it?
Well, here's something I want to make sure I say that It kind of hurts me to say this.
Don't know.
I don't know if it's because of his situation. I don't know if it's because of him recovering from an injury. But the Bengals out here making AJ Green look like he done.
Oh, wow.
Because when you draft a quarterback number one, the first thing you do is look at the roster. And then you say, oh, man, A.J. Green going to be that deal returning with Joe Burrow. And I really watch these games. And so I saw a game where Joe Burrow threw the ball over 60 times. A.J. Green wasn't involved. I've seen him go in and out of the game a couple of times with a couple of nagging injuries. But everybody else eating. Boyd, Mixon, they eating. A.J. Green isn't. So I don't know if it's going to be a Mohamed Sanu scenario that goes to the Patriots and then all of a sudden ends up somewhere else and the rest of the world doesn't know where he is right now. But A.J. Green hasn't been effective at all this year. And that's really surprising because he's one of the guys that was amongst the elite wide receivers in the NFL for a really long time before he got injured.
Jalen, I have an extremely important too hot for TV topic here. One of my favorite players in the NFL, if not my favorite player in the NFL, gentleman by the name of Jamal Adams, found his way out of the New York Jets situation, got to the Seahawks, couldn't play this weekend. So what did he do? He watched the Seahawks game on television, just like the rest of us. But unlike the rest of us, he had his helmet on. Now that's what I love to see. That's what I love to see from Jamal Adams. And of course, someone took a picture of him standing up watching the game, and they posted it on Twitter, and he posted himself and wrote, no matter what, I'm always locked in, let's go. But Jalen, he deleted this post and then reposted it. But if you're looking at the details, I don't know if there was marijuana in it, but there was a hand-rolled cigarette in an ashtray on his coffee table. I don't know the contents of that hand-rolled cigarette. Maybe he rolls his own and was smoking some tobacco. But it's more than likely that he just posted a picture of himself next to a half-smoked, extremely large marijuana joint. Do you think he'll get a random drug test anytime soon?
Well, in Seattle, it's legal.
It's not legal in the CBA. In Seattle, it might be legal, but it's not legal in the CBA.
But here's the thing I want to make sure I acknowledge, though. I'm never going to promote something that isn't 100% positive for human beings, even if it's one of my bad habits.
Okay.
But I have to say this about marijuana. The way we criminalize it, the same with adult entertainment establishments, is so phony because the same people that talk about it are the same people that's doing it. The same people that's doing it. And so, like the movie Friday, it's his day off. He ain't working.
He's not working.
I just wonder how awkward it might be to hit a joint wearing a helmet. That's all I want to know. Like, what kind of cage did he have?
Great point. And I have a lot to say about this. Number one, also, who did the Photoshop? The Photoshop looks great. That joint just disappeared real quick in the exact same photo. I don't know if he got a Photoshop guy on deck. Who do you send the original photo to? They turn around and send it back to you, and then you repost it real quick. Good for him. And also, I want to say this. Smoking a joint with a helmet's got to be impossible. That's the great analysis that we can come to Jalen and Jacoby for from you. But I also want some more analysis. Is he showed a lot of restraint because he clearly just smoked a little bit of the joint and then clipped it for later. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't smoke a whole joint. He smoked a little bit, clipped it. You know, it's probably early in the game. You know?
Let me tell you what that is.
What's that?
I'm disappointed in you, Jamal. My brother used to live in Seattle. They got some treats on treats on treats there. What that tells me, Jacoby, supply shortage.
Oh, you think so?
He had a supply shortage.
He's rationing it out.
He had a supply shortage.
He's on the last pre-roll. He's on the last pre-roll. Dude texted said he was going to be here at 8 p.m. He's like, so let me just clip this. I can't rely on this guy just in case he doesn't show up tonight. I got to make sure this thing lasts.
When you got unlimited supplies, you ain't saving.
He has a very organized coffee table, too. It looks like he's eating some cereal or something. Shout out to Jamal Adams. Live your life, man. And also, big shout out to his Photoshop artist.
All I know is this. He got a groin injury and he play a physical sport. So if he think that medicinal is going to help him, more power to him.
Sure.
But I got to get to petty on petty on petty. Can I get to petty on petty on petty?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
David Jacoby.
I don't like where this is going.
Will admit to the world that he doesn't do any in-depth Bob Lee type journalism. But he told me something off wax that is really important that relates to
if Jalen I told
Ramsey
you off wax
Tate that I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
On the pod.
Yeah, because you know I do. I really study. You know, if we're going to talk about the scrum that went on between the Rams and the Giants, I have to do the research. And the research unearthed the fact that a gentleman by the name of Jalen Ramsey, your namesake, has two children with Golden Tate's younger sister. And if some websites are to be believed, that while she was pregnant with the second one, he left her for another woman. And that residual feeling sort of bubbled over during the game between the two of them. They've also gone back and forth on social media a little. Your thoughts, Mr. Rose?
My thoughts is that doing this job for almost 20 straight years, it's just fascinating how much we know about these people's lives and usually only responsibly discuss a portion of it to try to give context to an audience. But since we're on the pod, let me go deeper into the box score on this topic. I don't have a younger sister because I'm the youngest in my family, but I do have two daughters. So I would think that the feelings are pretty universal on this one. You diss my sister, you diss my daughter, we're going to have problems forever. That's just how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but here's the other thing I want to say. You can't be the one on your back. Can't be the one on your back.
It was a great
Golden
tackle.
Golden was on his back, dog.
It was a great tackle. It was a great tackle.
Golden Tate
didn't feel great about that one. He didn't feel great about that one.
So I now understand completely why he was like, we ain't letting that ride. We can't let that ride. This is gonna have to be a post-game thing.
Yes, yeah.
Because I play offense, he plays defense, so he gets paid to hit me, and he got a great lick on me. But after the game, dog, I need some reparations.
He tried.
So it totally makes sense.
He tried. And also, I read somewhere that Jalen Ramsey was, like, running around looking for him in the stadium 20 minutes after the game was over, too. So something tells me next time we have the Giants and Rams game, I'll have an eye on that matchup. And there's also another similar subplot going on in the NBA Finals that we have not discussed on Wax because it's too hot for TV. We got to talk about it in a pod. A woman by the name of Katya Elise Henry, I've done extensive research on. She's got an Instagram account. And I had to really, just for the show, I had to do my research on her because she is a figure in this
You're
year's NBA Finals.
Such a professional.
She is the girlfriend of Tyler Hero. However, she has been linked in the past to a gentleman by the name of Kyle Kuzma. So you got to think about that matchup. Because if you're Tyler Hero going to the bucket and Kyle Kuzma's in front of you, you got to go a little bit harder and vice versa too. Because when you have sort of off-court people in common, I imagine there's some underlying emotion, much like there was between Tate and Ramsey yesterday. What do you think about that final subplot? So it doesn't get enough talk on there.
So since we're getting messy, let's go all the way there. That's why I knew it wasn't going to work with Doc Rivers and Paul George. Something I can never say on Countdown. I knew that was not going to work.
Oh, explain. I know what you mean, but explain to the people. Explain to the people.
I want to get to your first example. I want to talk to your first example first. Your first example was Tyler Hero and Kyle Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I want to say with all due respect, because both of these are young players in the league.
Very young.
I got a secret for you guys. This is really important. Take this advice, and this will save you a lot of heartache This will save you a lot of pain. Sometimes the people that are in your phone, that are in your DMs, that are following you on Twitter, that are following you on IG, I have to tell you something. That ain't exclusive to you. That ain't exclusive to you. Not to dismiss or demean any of the other people that are involved in this situation, but I know one thing about NBA players. They're in shape. They're rich. They're famous. They have charisma. And you know what? It ain't just you. So whatever you got, Kyle, Tyler got it too. And the young lady that they have in common, I'll tell you both a secret. If she's not talking to either one of y'all anymore, there's a good chance that she might be ended up talking to somebody else. And somebody after that, and somebody after that. That's just kind of how the game goes. It's business, it's never personal. Now, let's get to Doc Rivers and Paul George.
No shots to this lovely young lady, by the way.
No shots.
Yeah, no shots to her.
No shots.
She's doing her thing, living life.
I said that they're in shape. I said that they're rich. I said that they're famous. Like, who doesn't want to be with somebody that has those attributes? Like, it's all good. But allegedly.
No one can see you wink on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Allegedly. Paul George was in a relationship with Doc Rivers' daughter and got another young lady in Miami pregnant. During that process, he clearly wasn't in a relationship with Doc Rivers' daughter anymore. Mm-mm. And then a few months later, of all teams in the NBA, he got traded to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what else happened. They made it to the playoffs. And they played against the Mavs. And his ex is now married to Seth Curry. So imagine being at work, seeing your ex as a virtual fan, cheering for her husband, and you play for her dad. When they go to dinner after the game, your ears better be ringing. Because I'm pretty sure it comes up around the table very often. And so, as I saw him go from being the self-anointed playoff P to way off P, and hearing some of the grumblings that came out of the locker room, and then hear him, of all people, say, well, you know, we weren't necessarily charged with winning the championship this year. I'm like, wait a minute. Do you think Ballmer wrote all of these checks and traded all of those draft picks for you? For you. Like, they traded 4 or 5 first-round picks for
first
you.
First-round picks, yes.
Do you think they did that because they wanted to win in 5 years?
Like, yeah, because they wanted to get out of the first round.
You do know that he just wrote a blank check to build an arena in Inglewood. Like, this is for real right now. You know what I'm saying? This is no play. So much so, they fire Doc Rivers and don't keep Ty Lue in the building. And what I mean by that is he interviewing for other jobs. Which tells me Jerry West is like, Doc could go, Ty could go, the rest of his staff could go. Now, that hurts me, Jacoby, because Doc, championship coach, 5-year deal in Philly. Right after he got let go. Mm-hmm. Ty Lue, championship coach. Shouldn't be out here team hopping trying to find a gig. He should have a gig. He should have a gig. Sam Cassell should have a gig. But when the team flames out the way it did, the Clippers are now costing these dudes opportunities to get jobs.
Oh, Ty Lue's in the meeting like perform. Ty Lue's in the meeting like I told him to take out Trez. I told him to take out Trez every time out. Ty Lue, both Cassell and Ty Lue are in the meeting. Whether they did it or not, they're like, I told him to take out Trez, man. It obviously wasn't working. Couldn't stop Jokic. Told him to take out Trez. Trez's agent is like, well, if you look at the numbers, actually, if you look at these advanced metrics.
I got more Trez news for you if you want it.
Oh, you got more Trez news? Where's he gonna go?
He dealt with a death in his family, mm-hmm. so it forced him to lead a bubble. And I just believe that he never got back into a professional rhythm to be the productive player he was all season. Lou Will also had a death in the family, as we infamously know, that afterwards he ended up at Magic City eating some of the greatest wings in the history of mankind. Trust me, I've been there. I'm jealous that my name ain't on the menu. Trust me, I text Magic when that story came out. I was like, why my name ain't on the menu? He couldn't have spent more money in there than me. I got 30-year history. I'm saying my name should be on that menu. I was mad, Jacoby. But here's my thing about Trez. He won't be back with the Clippers. I know Jerry West. I have his number in my phone, Jacoby.
And oh, really?
I've sat with him multiple times while basketball games were happening. And he was the executive of that team. And let me just tell you this. Not a patient human being.
No?
Not a patient human being.
Not a second chance guy? No. Not a third chance guy?
I've seen him say trade some of the best players in the NBA. I've seen it. My own two eyes, my own two ears. I've seen it, heard it, all of that. He is not a patient human being. Trez won't be back. I don't think Lou will be back. Because what we just described, I think that he took those instances personal. That those guys weren't able to reclaim in the postseason what they did in the regular season. And Trez did something this offseason. He followed the Toronto Raptors on IG.
Oh! Huh.
I know way too much about these people's lives, dog.
Just trying to think how that would work. You kind of take out Gasol. He's going to Spain. You plug in Trez.
Check.
Give him those minutes. That makes sense to me. That's an upgrade for the Raptors, too.
Play him alongside.
He fits their style.
He fits right in with them. He fits with them.
They're so good on transition and all that. And Marc Gasol, they'd be turning. Marc Gasol would turn around to go back on D before he even got past half court. You know what I mean? He'd get the rebound, start running down on offense. Like, oh, they score.
So
okay,
you
cool,
put
I'll turn
him
around.
Up front with Pascal Siakam. So you heard it on Jalen and Jacoby. Don't be surprised when you see Woj report that Montrezl Harrell becomes a member of the Toronto Raptors.
Because there are legit centers that will come to town. Joel Embiid will come to town. Vucevic will come to town. You know, there are some centers that are going to come to town that you want to throw someone else in Serge Ibaka at them. And Trez is great for that. Jalen, I always appreciate all of your exclusive information, but there's one thing that we haven't discussed that I need to discuss with you. You know, my rec league team is so important to me, and there's two gentlemen on my rec league team named Patrick Spittler and Tim Green. Timothy Green and Patrick Spittler are from Buffalo, New York. They're big Bills fans. So I went, you know what I did yesterday? I went to Pat and Tim's house and I watched the Bills with the Bills Mafia, and we had buffalo wings and we had spicy blue cheese dip, and it was such a good time. And I watched Josh Allen take the Buffalo Bills to 4-0 over the Las Vegas Raiders. Jalen, the Buffalo Bills are for real. They're not just the best team in the division. They're one of the best teams in the AFC. They went to the playoffs last year. They should have beat the Texans to go up against the Chiefs. I believe in the Buffalo Bills. I'm on the Bills Mafia bandwagon until they lose two games. I'll jump right off real quick. But as of right now, I might get a Bills tattoo. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Die easy, people don't get tattoos because those last forever.
Oh, no. I've never had a tattoo.
They really hurt to get removed.
I ain't getting a tattoo.
I'm just happy that the Bills are good because one of my favorite groups of all time reside from there, Griselda. And if it makes Vinny the Butcher happy, if it makes Conway happy, if it makes West Side Gun happy, it makes me happy.
They're happy. That's a great point.
I love them so much.
Just do it for Buffalo. Do it for blue cheese. Do it for spicy wings. And do it for Griselda.
Do it for Griselda.
Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. We'll be playing voicemails tomorrow on the program, so leave us a voicemail right now. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.